RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz.
Hello listeners, welcome back to our English program of our Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Today's edition will bring you first our news, followed by press review, today in history, focus, and news in brief. We'll continue our segment with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. To conclude our program for today, we'll present to you our daily segment, Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. This is the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news, first the headlines. Revisions to anti-terrorism bill completed. The Indonesian Capital Investment Coordinating Board urges Japan to invest in capital goods. Indonesia donates dormitories to Al-Azhar University in Egypt. Now the news in detail. A government team on Friday finished preparing revisions to a bill on the eradication of terrorism. The bill is ready to be debated at the House of Representatives. Coordinating Political, Legal and Security Affairs Minister Luhut Panjaitan said, as quoted by Antara News Agency, that there is about 35% of the law that have been changed and the bill would be submitted to President Joko Widodo. He also said 19 articles were revised during the drafting process, with some new articles added and some others amended from existing ones. Indonesian Capital Investment Coordinating Board has urged Japanese investors to invest in industrial raw materials and capital goods since these sectors have a large investment potential. Chief of the board, Frankie Sibarani, in a statement received by Antara News Agency in Jakarta on Friday, said that major investment in the capital goods sector will have a positive impact as it will not only reduce imports but also increase domestic companies' industrial capacity. He also pointed out that the board's efforts to market investment opportunities among the Japanese investors will boost investment in industrial raw materials and capital goods in Indonesia. In addition, Japan is a key sector of automotive and spare parts industry. Frankie Sibarani further said Japan's investment potential in regards to both industrial raw materials and capital goods is still quite large. He perceived that the realization of Japanese investment in the sectors also showed a significant increase of 24.8%, amounting to 57.9 trillion rupiahs if compared to the previous year. Indonesian Ambassador to Egypt, Nur Faizi Suwandi, as representative of the Indonesian government, donated 4 dormitory buildings to the Al-Azhar University in Cairo, Egypt. As quoted by Antara News Agency, Ambassador Nur Faizi said the dormitories were built using a grant from the government of Indonesia and will be fully managed by the Al-Azhar University. The 4 dormitory buildings, with a capacity to house 1,200 students, were built using a grant from former President of Indonesia Susilo Bambang Yudhoyono. The grant was based on a presidential decree and was valued at 54 billion rupiahs, or about $5 million at that time. Ambassador Nur Faizi symbolically handed over the dormitories to Deputy General Sheikh of Al-Azhar Abbas Yuman, who was accompanied by Rector of Al-Azhar University Ibrahim Al-Huru. This news broadcast is coming your way from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. President Joko Widodo highlighted the need for synergy between the Indonesian military and police to overcome any problems of the nation, especially terrorism. As quoted by Antara News Agency, President Joko Widodo, after opening the military police leadership meeting in Jakarta on Friday, said that synergy between both sides is the key to overcoming any problems, such as the bomb blast near the Sarinah department store in Jalan Tamrin, in which the police moved quickly to neutralize the threat with the support of the military. The president also urged the military and police to always be ready, swift, and move quickly to address and offer first aid in every disaster that strikes certain areas. President Joko Widodo acknowledged that the military and police were quick in responding to every situation, such as addressing forest fires and other disasters last year. The Asian Development Bank has offered a new loan scheme to the Indonesian government, and currently both parties are still reviewing the potential financing that can be availed through it. Development Financing Deputy of the Indonesian National Development Planning Agency, Wismana Adi Suryabrata, explained that the newly offered scheme is different from the earlier three schemes of result-based lending, direct lending, and conventional loans. As quoted by Antara News Agency, he said the loan scheme is directly based on the metrics of infrastructure projects in the state budget, and it is a new scheme that has not yet been offered to other multilateral or bilateral financing institutions and partners. Indonesia will benefit from the government's criteria for the projects under this new scheme. Moreover, the government has received assurance for additional sources of funding if there is a shortage of funds to finance any government infrastructure projects. Public Works and Public Housing Ministry announced that it had finished the pre-qualification process for the Batang-Semarang in Central Java toll road as part of the Trans-Java Highway, granting five companies the chance to bid for the previously stalled toll road. As quoted by Jakarta Post, Minister Basuki Hadi Mulyono said that the companies are a state-owned construction company and some consortiums of the Malaysian-based Plus Expressway International Berhad, China Harbour Indonesia, and several others. They were asked to submit their bids in a month. The tender is slated to finish by mid-March. The winner for the 75-kilometer toll road tender would also have to complete construction and operate it by at least 2018, as targeted by the government for the Trans-Java Highway. The ministry planned to free up an additional 3 kilometers of land soon. Last item. Indonesia's East Nusa Tenggara province is gearing up to organize an international cycling race to promote sports tourism next May, called Tour de Flores, in a bid to boost its tourism sector. Dubbed as a sport tourism event, the Tour de Flores will take place from May 16 to 26 and will bring together some 230 world-class cyclists who had participated in some international cycling races, such as the Tour de France in Paris and Tour de Langkawi in Malaysia. Tourism Minister Arif Yahya, who launched the Tour de Flores 2016, said that the activities were aimed at promoting East Nusa Tenggara's Flores Island. It is one of the 10 tourism destinations in the country which development is being accelerated by the government. As quoted by Antara News Agency, the minister said, although its direct impact on tourism sector is not too large, it has an effective media value. Similarly, tourism destination where the Tour de Flores routes will pass will have brand value. To end the news, here are the main points once again. Revisions to anti-terrorism bill completed. Indonesian Capital Investment Coordinating Board urges Japan to invest in capital goods. Indonesia donates dormitories to Al-Azhar University in Egypt. That was the end of the news. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with press review. A variety of important events that occurred this week are summarized in the press review compiled from various newspapers published in Jakarta. Let's start with Media Indonesia newspaper, which in an editorial on Thursday, January the 28th, writes, "Traitor of the state in drug network. The correctional officers involved in drug trafficking are real traitors to the country. Therefore, the law inflicted upon them should be heaviest. The latest evidence is the unfolding of laundering drug money worth 17 billion rupiahs. The culprit is a former inmate of Nusa Kambangan prison in Cilacap with business associates drug dealers who are still in prison. The fall network is not only in one prison but also occurs in various other prisons in the country. The smooth drug trafficking that has been going on since 2010 has strengthened the notion that the correctional officer's involvement is still strong. Media Indonesia newspaper writes, efforts of the National Narcotic Agency to clean the prisons of syndicate of drug dealers should be supported, especially by the Ministry of Law and Human Rights. It should give strict sanctions against the correctional officers who are proven to be involved in drug trafficking. Not only that, according to Media Indonesia, they also must be sentenced like dealers. They not only become an accomplice of drug dealers, but they also even spread the virus that eats away the future of this nation. Therefore, the most appropriate way is to be firm, no tolerance for them. Turning to Kompas Daily, in its editorial on Friday, January the 29th, the newspaper writes, testing the state existence. House member from Golkar Party Setia Novanto Attitude, who did not meet the three summons from the Attorney General, is indeed testing the existence of the state. Therefore, the prosecutor, who is currently investigating allegations of criminal offenses in the case of Papa Asfos Talks or the President Asfos Talks involving Novanto, oil businessman Muhammad Riza Khalid, and President Director of PT Freeport Indonesia then, Ma'ruf Samsudin, Novanto has stepped down as chairman of the House as a result of the case. In a letter sent by his personal staff to Deputy Attorney General for Special Crimes, Aminsya, Novanto requested the examination to be postponed for 2 weeks for health reasons. Kompas newspaper agrees with former chairman of the Central Board of Muhammadiyah Shafi'i, who assessed the step taken by Novanto is a form of political arrogance that is unethical. On the other hand, the absence of Novanto is also a test for the Attorney General. According to Kompas, the Attorney General must also demonstrate its seriousness by calling Riza Khalid. So far, there has been no serious attempt by the Attorney General to call Riza Khalid. The helplessness of the law enforcement agencies against Riza Khalid could lead to a public inquiry, to which extent the role of invisible hands play in a dark room of the case. Let's end this week's press review with Tempo newspaper, which in an editorial on Thursday, January the 28th, wrote, "The Corruption Eradication Commission on the Edge." The Corruption Eradication Commission position is really on the edge. So far, the commission is the only institution trusted by the people as serious about fighting corruption, which makes the commission in a crucial position, according to Koran Tempo, is when 4 days ago the House of Representatives officially entered the revision of Law No. 30 of 2002 on the commission to the National Legislation Program in 2016. It said there are 4 things that are planned to be revised, namely granting authority, issuing the warrant discontinuation of investigation, formatting of the Board of Trustees, revising of wiretapping authority, and then appointing an independent investigator. The Parliament said the revisions were made to strengthen the Commission. According to this daily, among those 4 points, only the appointment of an independent investigator, which is positively influential. 3 other points will weaken the Commission. According to Koran Tempo, Parliament should pay attention to people's desire to not tamper with what has become the strength of the Commission. Now the public just put the hope on President Joko Widodo. The government must resist the weakening of the Commission. There is no other option if it is committed to fight corruption. If the government allows the action of the parliament, President Joko Widodo will be remembered as a bad president because the former president managed to make the commission remain strong in the midst of a lot of disturbances. Well, that was press review today over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Anna Trijayakasih.
Today in history. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Hello listeners, wherever you are, welcome back to Today in History. We begin with an event which occurred on January 30, 1933, when Adolf Hitler became Chancellor of Germany. Adolf Hitler was an Austrian-born German politician who was the leader of the Nazi Party. Chancellor of Germany from 1933 to 1945 and Führer or leader of Nazi Germany from 1934 to 1945. He was actively dictator of Nazi Germany and was at the center of World War II in Europe and the Holocaust. Hitler was a decorated veteran of World War I. He joined the precursors of the NSDAP, the German Workers' Party, in 1919 and became leader of the NSDAP in 1921. In 1923, he attempted a coup in Munich to seize power. The failed coup resulted in Hitler's imprisonment, during which time he dictated his autobiography and political manifesto, Mein Kampf, or My Struggle. After his release in 1924, Hitler gained popular support by attacking the Treaty of Versailles and promoting pan-Germanism, anti-Semitism, and anti-communism with charismatic oratory and Nazi propaganda. Hitler frequently denounced international capitalism and communism as being part of Jewish conspiracy. Hitler's Nazi Party became the largest elected party in the German Reichstag, leading to his appointment as Chancellor in 1933. The next event was in 1948 when Mahatma Gandhi was assassinated. Mohandas Karamchand Gandhi, better known as Mahatma Gandhi, was assassinated at the Birla House in New Delhi on 30 January 1948. Gandhi was outside on the steps where a praying meeting was going to take place, surrounded by a part of his family and some followers, when Nathuram Godse, a militant Hindu nationalist and prominent member of Hindu Mahasabha, approached and shot him 3 times in the chest at close range. Gandhi was taken back inside the Birla House, where he died. And the last event was in 1982 when Richard Skrenta wrote the Earth Cloner Virus. Richard Skrenta is a computer programmer and Silicon Valley entrepreneur who created the search engine Beko. In 1982, as a high school student at Mount Lebanon High School, Skrenta wrote the Earth Cloner Virus that infected Apple II machines. It is widely believed to be one of the first large-scale self-spreading personal computer viruses ever created. That was Today in History.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Focus. Today's edition is on International Conference on Family Planning to Fix Population Program held this week in Bali. President Joko Widodo opened the International Conference on Family Planning 2016 in Bali Nusa Dua Convention Center on Monday, January the 25th. The fourth conference themed Global Commitment Local Action was originally scheduled in November 2015, but was postponed due to the closure of the Ngurah Rai Airport as a result of increased activity of Mount Rinjani. More than 4,000 participants from 114 countries attended the conference, which was held from January 25 until 28. The conference was a collaboration between the National Family Planning Coordinating Board, the Bill and Melinda Gates Institute for Population and Reproductive Health, and the Johns Hopkins Center for Communication Programs. In his speech, President Joko Widodo reminded that the generation of quality with noble character can only be born to healthy mothers. Healthy children, he said, come from a healthy and prosperous family. Therefore, family planning is very important. According to the president, family planning has become a strategic investment to ensure the health of future generation, the achievement of sustainable development objectives, and also to achieve global security and prosperity of the world. Previously, the conference was scheduled to be held every 2 years. It was held in Kampala, Uganda in 2009, in Dakar, Senegal in 2011, in Addis Ababa, Ethiopia in 2013. Indonesian Coordinating Minister for Human Development and Culture, Puan Maharani, said the conference is an opportunity to make a commitment to family planning. It was also to exchange information, learn and enhance knowledge about contraceptive technology development and various aspects of family planning programs. At the same time, it showed the world that Indonesia is committed to the advancement of family planning programs globally. The International Conference on Family Planning 2016 also presented tokens of appreciation to several international philanthropists for their dedication in the field of family planning. They are, among others, Patricia Sutanto from Indonesia, a CEO of the company that helps fight tuberculosis and malaria, Sir Christopher Horn of England for his support in improving child nutrition and maternal health, Faisal and Arif Nafi from Pakistan, whose company CSR has been dedicated to community service, as well as Datuk Sri Dr. Tahir, a philanthropist banker who supports children's education and health. Meanwhile, President of Global Development of Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, Dr. Christopher Elias, expressed a strong commitment to provide aid of $300 million. This assistance is used to help prevent women and girls from death due to pregnancy or childbirth at very young age through the provision of contraceptives. Present at the opening of the conference, among others, former Indonesian President B.J. Habibie, Executive Director of the United Nations Population Fund, Babatunde Osotimehin, who represented the UN Secretary General, and representatives of donor agencies and other international organizations. Well, that was focused today on International Conference on Family Planning to Fix Population.
This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with news in brief. A government team on Friday finished preparing revisions to a bill on the eradication of terrorism. Indonesian Capital Investment Coordinating Board has urged Japanese investors to invest in industrial raw materials and capital goods since these sectors have a large investment potential. Indonesian Ambassador to Egypt Nurfaizi Suwandi, as a representative of the Indonesian government, donated 4 dormitory buildings to the Al-Azhar University in Cairo, Egypt. President Joko Widodo highlighted the need for synergy between the Indonesian military and police to overcome any problems of the nation, especially terrorism. The Asian Development Bank has offered a new loan scheme to the Indonesian government, and currently both parties are still reviewing the potential financing that can be availed through it. Public Works and Public Housing Ministry announced that it had finished the pre-qualification process for the Batang Semarang in Central Java Toll Road as part of the Trans-Java Highway, granting 5 companies the chance to bid for the previously stalled toll road. Indonesia's East Nusa Tenggara province is gearing up to organize an international cycling race to promote sports tourism next May, called Tour de Flores, in a bid to boost its tourism sector. That was the end of News in Brief over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Anna Trijayakasih.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
You still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia broadcasting daily from Jakarta on frequencies 9525 kHz, 11.785 kHz, and 15.150 kHz. You can also listen through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Listener, it is our next segment, Indonesian Wonder.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello, listeners, it is a pleasure to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary, arts, and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we'll invite you to visit Kepulauan Riau Province. Stay tuned. Listeners, Sakai is one of tribes which live in inland area of Riau Province on Sumatra Island. They spread in a number of regions, namely Bengkalis, Kampar, Indragiri Hulu, and Siak. Most Sakai people live at Kusumbo Ampai village, which reaches around 1,300 families. They belong to Vedoid race. In general, they have dark brown skin and curly hair as their characteristic. People say the word Sakai is the abbreviation of Sungai, Kampung, Anak, Ikan, or in English means river, hamlet, child, fish. From this abbreviation, it seems that they are people who live in surrounding river and they really own the wealth in the river such as fish. This tribe is still nomadic, moving from one region to another. Listeners, Sakai traditional people in Riau Province is known with their physical strength, which is often associated with mysticism. People say the name Sakai was given by the Japanese troops when colonialists the archipelago. The native people were afraid for the Japanese soldiers due to their power. Sakai people kept fighting Japan and often the colonialists became busy due to their witchcraft. Because of that, the colonists did not dare to force them to participate in forced labor or Romusa. Japan also called them Sakai due to their physical form similar to the Sakai in Japan. Sakai clan in Japan was also the strongest samurai in Tokugawa Empire in the 14th century. In Japanese, Sakai also means strong, resilient, and similar with it. Listeners, Sakai tribe is known to have magic power because they have own concoction to add their physical strength. Sakai tribe calls the concoction with the name Urek Petoga. Urek Petoga becomes concoction which has been given to their baby since the past. Because of that, Sakai children have strong body. The concoction is made from 8 kinds of forest plants. The most important of petoga trees root has a thin shape like banyan but very hard. Other raw materials are dolik and danto wood and also some kinds of rattan such as batu rattan, lantai rattan, sogo and gemantan rattan. Listeners, besides for baby, Urek Petoga is often consumed by maid. Urek Petoga also becomes tonic. For baby, the 8 ingredients are boiled and used for bathing. Then its water is smeared throughout the body to make the baby's body become strong. For adult male, this concoction is added with lime betel. Then it is directly consumed. And concoction is consumed for 3 days continuously, but must be on the 13th day every month. It means the concoction is taken before the full moon. To enjoy it, there is requirement. They who consume Urek Petoga must sit on an iron. In the past, they use hard stone called iron stone. Besides that, they are prohibited to consume eggplant, rice bran, and ginger leaf or yellow sawah lettuce. listeners, that was Indonesian Wonder for today. We meet again tomorrow with another topic. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with Miscellany, a regular segment featuring various aspects of Indonesia, including art and culture, customs and tradition, technology and environment, even lifestyle. Today's edition will be discussing Indonesian popular delicacy, salted fish. So stay tuned. Besides via shortwave, you can also listen to this program through www.voi.co.id. For most people in Indonesia, salted fish is very popular delicacy, especially if enjoyed with hot steamed rice and sambal or special chili sauce. Especially in West Java, a meal is not complete without salted fish. It is usually served with tamarind soup or sayur asem and sambal lalap or vegetable with chili sauce. Not only that, salted fish actually can be processed into a variety of dishes. In the eastern part of Indonesia, people would eat it not only with rice, which is in Indonesia is number one staple food, but also with sagu porridge or papeda, steamed corn or binte. Sometimes it is mixed with various side dishes. There are many types of fish that can be marinated or salted. Fish salting process often takes a long time due to the drying process, which mostly still depends on the sunshine. It turns out that salted fish is not only popular in Indonesia but also known in Southeast Asia and other parts of the world, even Europe. Canada, Iceland, and Norway are three Western countries which first popularized salted fish or anchovies to the world scene. To preserve fish through salting method actually has been known for more than 500 years. Making salted fish is very easy and cheap. That's why it is so popular with the public, particularly in coastal areas, especially since the nutrients can still be kept despite having safe for some time. Salting the fish became economically feasible during the 17th century. As a country that has the largest fish potential in the world, Indonesia also takes advantage of the sector. 50% of the total fish production is processed into salted fish. The Indonesian government has set salted fish as one of 9 basic food needs of the people. Well, that was Miscellany today on Indonesian salted fish.
We'll meet again tomorrow with another Miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listeners of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, welcome back with me, Mariati, in Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian original music, either traditional or modern ones. In addition to shortwave 95 to 5 kHz, you can also listen to this program through audio streaming at www.voi.co.id or through RRI Play and RRI World Service mobile applications on your smartphones. In today's edition, I will introduce you to Cheryl Shainavia. Her first album, entitled Cheryl Shainavia, was released in 2013 with the first single entitled Demi Aku, or in English, Means For Me. Listeners, before we get to know more about Cheryl's, let's listen to a song entitled Demi Aku. Enjoy the song.
bisa menghindar dari kamu. Ku janji sekarang, ku takkan berharap. Tak perlu kau berubah demi aku, demi aku.
Listeners of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, you have just listened to the first song from Cheryl entitled Demi Aku or For Me. The 19-year-old singer has many talents in music industry, beginning from singing, creating a song until playing instrument. She is also active as actress and presenter. She often sings while playing guitar. On some talk show on national private television station, she said she was not reluctant to learn how to play guitar from her security officer at her house. By playing a number of musical instruments, she made albums when she was a little girl. Then her father tried to give the album to some recording labels. Because all lyrics are in English, all labels rejected and said that a singer in her age should not use English at the time, but use Bahasa Indonesia. The rejection did not make Cheryl hopeless. Finally, she officially released her album in 2013. In the beginning, Cheryl's career was not as smooth and as bright as today. Now, she is one of nominees in various music awards. VOA listeners, let's listen to the next song from Cheryl entitled Blah Blah Blah. Enjoy the song.
Ku bosan mendengar bla-bla-bla kamu. Aku ingin cerita tentang diriku. Sayang, bisakah kau diam? Hanya beberapa menit saja. Coba hatimu, jangan kau egois begitu. Coba sedikit mengalah untukku. Dengarkan aku, oh sayangku. Coba dengarkan bla 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 dari. Semua ocehanmu.
Listeners, that was a song entitled Blah 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 from Cheryl. The third single of Cheryl was released in late May 2013. The song was inspired by her own private story. Then she also said that this song tells about a man in her past life. Although they have been close to each other, this man always talked about himself. The point of the song is egoism of a love couple who always tells about himself. When he talked, it is sounded like blah, blah, blah. In making this song, she gave concept to the music label, which then positively welcomed by the label. The label suggested Cheryl to collaborate with Niji for getting the best song. Besides Niji, David Noah also takes part in Cheryl Shane Navia album. David gave one song entitled Rasa Sunyi. For your listeners, to conclude Music Corner for today, let's listen to songs entitled Rasa Sunyi and Kita Berdua. Thank you for listening. Happy weekend and sampai jumpa.
Thank you.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia at en.voi.co.id.
Bernafas saat ku pegang tanganmu, saat satu kata yang ingin ku ucap, tapi bibir tak bisa bergerak. Ingin ku katakan cinta, cinta kepadamu.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Terimalah
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.